Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other men? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
So what Jack's just read from us was from Luke's Gospel, and that's the part of the Bible we'll be looking at today. And the first thing we're going to think about is feeling left out. And I think we can all remember a time in our lives when we felt left out or excluded. And hopefully a couple of examples might appear on the screen in a moment. Next slide, please. Yeah, there we go. Now we're up to date. So you can probably remember feeling like this when you were young or at school, being the last person to be picked when you're picking teams, or just being seeming to be invisible to that group of people that you desperately want to be part of. But these experiences aren't exclusive to children. We get them in our adult lives as well. So you might not be part of that group at work that always seem to get the best jobs and to get the recognition. When we look at our social media, it might seem that everyone else has a better life than us. There's even an acronym for it, the fear of being left out, the fear of missing out, FOMO. Well, in recent lockdowns, we've all felt a bit excluded from normal life, and those without technology allowing them to keep in touch with others have been particularly isolated. And for every example where friends and neighbours have made the effort to keep in touch and look out for each other, then there will have been others that have slipped through the net and people have been left out. Well, the 10 men we read about in the Bible today suffered from a particularly cruel form of isolation. They were described as lepers. So they had this infection which damaged the nerves in their skin, and they would have slowly, over years, repeated infections and injuries that would have caused them to change their appearance, that they might lose fingers or other extremities. And there was no known cure for this. People didn't understand how the disease spread and they were very frightened by it. So if you had leprosy, then it would show on your face and hands, and there was no hiding it, and people would keep away from you and they would force you out of the community. Lepers would have been separated from their families and friends, and this may well have hurt much more than the disease itself, as the only company you had was that of fellow sufferers. Well, then we get this amazing miracle, don't we? The man Luke, who wrote this account of Jesus' life, says at the start of his gospel in chapters 1 and verse 2, that what he's recorded is what eyewitnesses saw. What he's written down was based on the accounts of people who saw it. So Jesus has been traveling around for some time now, telling people about God, performing miracles, and challenging the religious leaders of the time. Luke, in his account of the gospel, in his account of Jesus' life, well, he's already spoken about Jesus healing people, including a man with leprosy. He's spoken about Jesus raising a man from the dead. He's spoken about Jesus commanding the weather when he was out in a boat in a storm with his friends. And he's spoken about Jesus feeding crowds of people from just a few fish sandwiches. So Jesus would have been a celebrity at the time, and people would have travelled out of the towns to see him and hear him. Could this be the man that the prophets in the Old Testament spoke about, who would provide a way back to God? Perhaps if we go and see him, he'll do one of his miracles. Well, Jesus was probably surrounded by a crowd when the lepers arrived, and they will have heard about Jesus and what he'd done, and particularly the healing and the miracles, and they go out to meet him. Remember how you travelled out from the isolation of your own homes to get a vaccine to protect you from coronavirus? Well, the lepers that we've read about, these men had no hope of a cure, and so hearing about Jesus who might miraculously cure them, then that would have tempted them to come out and join this crowd, but they probably would have been at the back, shunned and chased away. They'd have stood at the back of the crowd, and they shouted to Jesus, "Have pity on us." And what Jesus tells them sounds a bit strange. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Well, this was because the priests had the job of deciding who was clean and unclean. They were like health inspector and preacher, if you like. And the priests would have been the ones to confirm that the lepers had been cured from, and they could end their isolation and re-enter society. And so the lepers set off as they were told to do, and even as they went, they were healed. But there was a mixed response, wasn't there? Luke chose to focus in his accounts not on the miracle of the healing, but in the reaction of these lepers. And Lynn's already talked about how, as parents, we try and drill into our children the habit of saying thank you. I was out with my family for a meal in a Thai restaurant, and we sat down, and the waiter came round, and he had this little ritual that he did where he opened your napkin and gave you a clean plate to eat from. And although we were all chatting away at the time, everyone sort of subconsciously stopped to say thank you. They weren't really aware that they were doing it, but they paused and said thank you anyway. And they said it out of habit. Habit even when they weren't really paying attention. And our parents make saying thank you a habitual thing, don't they? Why do they do that? Well, it's because most of the time it's not our instinctive reaction when something nice happens to us. Our instinctive reaction is to celebrate, isn't it? When something good happens to us, we want to smile and cheer and shout. Did you see the last series of Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway? They were showing some footage of a family at home who just won a free holiday. And the mother got so excited, she leapt up, took the wig off her head, and waved it around in her excitement. And that's the sort of excitement that the TV series wants to capture, isn't it? They want this sort of wave. They don't want the family to be quietly sitting down and saying, "Oh, well, thank you very much." And that's exactly what we saw with these 10 lepers, wasn't it? Miraculously healed of this condition that would have meant that they had to spend their lives in isolation and probably a slow and painful death. Only one of them thought to go and say thank you. And we read that he was a Samaritan, and that's worth noting because Jesus was a Jew, and there was a bit of racial tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. Nevertheless, this Samaritan took the time to go back and say thank you. The only one of the 10 who'd been cured of his illness, and like us meeting together today to say thank you to God, he went back to say thank you. So that's a more detailed look at the events that we read about from Luke's Gospel. But is that all there is to say about them? Well, not quite, because there's another level to this account of what happened. Do you remember Shrek explaining to his friend Donkey that ogres are like layers? Ogres are like onions. They have layers. Well, this story has layers as well, like an onion. So if we peel back the layer, and we'll have a look at what's underneath. What these 10 lepers experienced in life, that feeling of being excluded or left out, we all experience that at times in our lives. But the Bible tells us that this social isolation, something we can all relate to, is also something that we experience spiritually. If you go right back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, you have an account of the creation of the world. It's not a scientific account of how things began, like you might get in Professor Stephen Hawking's Brief History of Time. In that book, you search for how things happened, and you use the best scientific information, and you put forward a theory as to how life began. So if you like cooking, then science tries to give you the ingredients and the recipe for the beginning, for creation. So you switch on your sun, preheat it to a surface temperature of about 10 million degrees. Then you take your planet and you put it in orbit around the sun. It's not too close and not too far away. And you take some water and a blend of chemicals, add a mystery ingredient, and then you get life. What the Bible gives us is an explanation of the intention behind creation. It explains why it happened and the intended relationship between the Creator and creation. So the Bible's view is like the photo of the finished dish, showing what it looks like and describing how to serve it up. Rather than the recipe or the ingredients to make the dish, what you get is in the Bible is like the picture that shows that food has a purpose. Its purpose is to be eaten by the Creator. The relationship between the chef and the food. The Bible tells us that we have a purpose. We are meant to be in a relationship with our Creator. We were made by an eternal and loving God, and our purpose is to look after the earth and everything in it, and to have this relationship with God. We were made in His image and designed spiritually to have that relationship with Him. Well, the rest of the Bible tells us how we turned our back on God. We set off on our own lives, independent of Him. And no surprise then that we all feel that sense of isolation from God, because we were meant to be with Him. We all need something more from life than it offers, because we're designed to have that spiritual relationship with God. People spend their entire lives looking for the whole, something to fill that hole in their lives, the hole that relationship with God would fill, like a jigsaw puzzle with a piece missing. And they try wealth or power or different experiences, but these things don't fill that void. Like a child's shape sorter, if you like, they're the wrong shape, and try as you might, they won't fit in. Only God fits that hole in our lives. Well, Jesus' final words to the Samaritan who returned to thank him were, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This man had not just been physically healed. In recognizing what Jesus had done for him and in returning to thank him, he'd not just been healed, he'd been made well, he'd been restored to God. Luke's gospel goes on to explain how Jesus' life was ended when he was put to death by crucifixion on the cross by the governing Romans following a conspiracy by the Jewish religious leaders. And Christians believe that Jesus was destined to die to pay the penalty for us turning our back on our Creator God. And by his death, we can be restored. We can have that relationship with him again. And if you feel that there's something missing in your life, then you're probably feeling that spiritual isolation. And maybe you're recognizing that there's that God-shaped hole in your life. Well, Jesus gave an instruction to the lepers. Do you remember he said, go to the priest, go and see the priest. And they followed his instruction, and as they went, they were healed. One man, the Samaritan, who recognized what Jesus had done for him, he went back to say thank you. And he was healed, and he was restored. Jesus, through his life on earth and his death, left us with an instruction. Recognize what Jesus has done for us in his death. He's provided a way to be restored to God. And say thank you. Thank you. And you can be spiritually restored. Well, if you want to know more, you can join us as we meet here every Sunday to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done and to learn more about how he wants us to live by looking at other things that are written in the Bible. And you will be most welcome to join us. It would be good to see you all back again.